This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. The last presidential election and recent years at the state legislature have brought a new focus on the debate over women's health and reproductive issues, and in the middle of it all in the last few years has been Planned Parenthood. The organization's leader in Atlanta is retiring at the end of this year, December 28th, actually, after 32 years with Planned Parenthood. Kay Scott is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Southeast. Kay Scott, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you so much. It's fun to be here.
Let's talk about the last election for a moment, first of all, because it's the most recent thing. Certainly, issues like reproductive choice or contraception coverage for insurance, all of those things are issues on which one would expect Planned Parenthood to be an advocate. Did the organization cross the line from advocacy on an issue to actually partisanship, saying we're going to get Barack Obama reelected and the Democrats back in Congress? Did you cross that line from advocacy to partisanship?
I don't think so. I mean, there's never been a presidential election where part of the platform was to defund Planned Parenthood. So in some ways, we were not given much of a choice to be involved. There's been Republicans for Choice since I've been in the movement, which is almost 35 years now. And we really, you know, one of the things I say to board members who are Republicans is help take back your party. I am struck many times now about how much the Republican Party as a whole seems to want to regulate very personal private decisions and health care when that really is not part of their tradition or platform.
Many Republican leaders over the years have been, though, people with very passionate feelings about abortion, particularly.
Right.
Based on a position of conscience, is that something that's inappropriate?
I think people have certainly a right. It's an American right. You know, we have a conscience clause ourselves on those issues for that to happen. But I think that when you begin to single out an organization or you single out women's health because in your religious beliefs it is against what you believe, essentially, that can't be the public policy for the country.
Many of our laws are based on either things that are from a moral code or from a religious code or the two put together. So why should abortion be any different? Why shouldn't one, if one feels that this is wrong or the taking of a life, why shouldn't one advocate for that as public policy?
I think you can advocate particularly what's used in public funding for that. But there are many religions that are pro-choice, that leave that decision to the family, to the woman, to her religious leader. So it's not one fell swoop, you know, that all the theology is on the side of that abortion is taking a life. Almost all major religions have specific statements about the fact that it's a matter of conscience and that generally it's discouraged, but that it is ultimately a question of conscience between, you know, a woman and her faith.
What to you were the biggest myths that were propagated about Planned Parenthood?
Well, that the majority of our clinical services are abortion, that we are not neutral from a counseling point of view, that it's a pocketbook issue. I can tell you, you know, emphatically that option counseling is provided. We feel like that part of our mission and our job for almost 100 years now has been specifically to make sure that women know all the options that are open to her. So even if a woman comes to one of our centers and says, I'm really clear, I have an unplanned pregnancy, I want to have an abortion, that we will say, let's just take a minute and talk through what the other options are of adoption as well as continuing a pregnancy. So we really have a rounded out program that's designated so that women make the best choice fully informed. So that's one. In our particular Planned Parenthood, abortion accounts for less than 10% of the procedures that we provide. So the vast majority of what we do is prevention and health care and family planning.
One of the questions that's always raised when we get into statistics is, you know, how much of it is abortion-related rather than provided? Are there referrals or things like that that are abortion-related that might make up more than 10%
there? No, not at all. Yeah. It's, in fact, it's 9% is procedures and referrals and the whole abortion service that we provide. And so the vast majority is the other. And that was really put in danger. And to think about that, one of the most successful programs at the millennium, CDC came out and said that family planning was one of the top 10 influences of improving women's morbidity and mortality in the 20th century. I mean, this is a hugely successful program. And yet we continue to have, you know, politics around what is essentially a public health issue.
When you talk about politics over what is essentially a health issue, that raises the question of the controversy recently over Susan G. Komen for the Cure. Karen Handel, former Georgia Secretary of State, former executive at Komen, wrote a book entitled Planned Bullyhood. We talked to her about it here on this broadcast. Did Planned Parenthood, in responding to Komen's decision to defund some of the programs that they had worked on together, cross the line into politics? I mean, was there an overreaction that you felt by the national organization to what Komen was doing?
Not at all. There were weeks of negotiations to say, let's not do this. We've been partners for a number of years, mm-hmm. and it was Komen who made that decision. And I'm really outraged at how Karen's presented this issue, that we were mercenary in fundraising, that that we were somehow implicated in the rhetoric that was around this. And, you know, I have to kind of smile to myself to say, welcome to my world, you know, that I have to think about the safety and security of my patients and our staff every day. And that it's been, as you know, it comes out in a whole variety of ways. But Planned Parenthood took essentially a policy of non-engagement. I mean, I've never received so many phone calls, and I had people in tears calling to say, I'm an ardent supporter of Planned Parenthood, and yet we've lost someone to breast cancer. The Komen walks and marches are part of a healing process. And that my immediate response is, you don't have to make a choice. You know, you can be a Planned Parenthood supporter and go march. You know, we're not asking you, we're not expecting anything. This should be a non-issue about it. And so I really am offended by the tone of that.
On the safety issue, in our interview back in September, Karen Handel said that she felt that Planned Parenthood helped stir up some of the very angry reactions that Komen got. And she said that, you know, she was subject to bomb threats and that sort of thing. And I asked her about that, and I want to play you a part of that from the interview that we did with Karen Handel.
I want to just clarify, though, are you saying that the bomb threats, are you laying that at the feet of Planned Parenthood? Do you have any evidence
I'm
to
laying
connect
it at
Planned
the
Parenthood
feet.
To threats of violence?
I'm laying it at the feet of supporters of Planned Parenthood who were rallied to come after Komen.
Because I think, as you know, Planned Parenthood itself has been the target of threats of violence and so forth. Is it fair then to say, okay, the pro-life movement is responsible for the threats against Planned Parenthood? Is that any
not more? Once did Cecile Richards step up and say these types of tactics are inappropriate? Not once. And that is the distinct difference. Instead, let me tell you what she did. She fundraised for Planned Parenthood on the back of the demise of Susan G. Komen for the Cure. And the only people that were hurt in all of this were the women that Komen was trying to serve.
Just wanted to get your response to that. That's mm-hmm. a fairly serious allegation from Karen Handel.
Given the history that Planned Parenthood has of the harassment and violence to our clients and providers and staff, we would never, ever do anything that would incite violence. I can remember...
She was saying, though, you kind of took advantage
no,
of that or
take
stirred
advantage.
It up.
We never would take advantage of that. We've lost people. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that we take every day. We have safety and security issues.
The other part of her allegation was that there was fundraising done off of that atmosphere of intense heat.
Well, I think that Planned Parenthood had no idea at that point in time whether there would be a reconciliation or not, and they did not want interruption of service. So when people ask about how are you going to fill the gap, then there certainly was fundraising done, but that was That was not against Komen. It was really taking care of the Planned Parenthood family.
You and Karen Handel live in the same city.
Right.
Have you spoken with her?
No.
Obviously, you've crossed paths over the years.
Right.
But
right.
Have you spoken with her since the book came out?
No.
Would you like to?
No. It's really, I think it would be a futile conversation. You know, I'm not, I mean, she was in full attack. And when someone is in full attack, it's really hard for them to hear anything else. I have a very different perspective. And, you know, you have to go to the table thinking that you'd walk away with something positive that would happen. And I just don't think that's where this would, you know, happen.
Has that whole controversy, it certainly has had an effect on Susan G. Komen for the Cure. Has it also had an effect on Planned Parenthood, particularly here?
It hasn't necessarily brought in more dollars, if that's what you're asking. We didn't really fundraise about it. What it has happened is that people have been more interested about our full health care complement of services and what is our response to breast health, breast care, and getting young women in a position so that they can be advocates for themselves around this issue.
When you joined the organization here in Atlanta in 1980,
right,
that was the time of Operation Rescue, people blocking entrances to clinics. So you have been here through a time that was polarized from the beginning. Has it gotten better or worse in terms of conversations across the divide on reproductive rights?
The polarization is really stuck. And the people in the middle are tired of the conversation. I think it's ya-ya over here and ya-ya over here by separate forces. And so it's hard now to have that conversation with people because of the polarization. It's like, I don't know if I even want to open the door and talk about this. And I think we should talk about it. I think we should find some ways to meet. You know, one of the things that I'm probably proudest about is that Planned Parenthood does walk the walk. And so when we talk about family planning and the strength of a community being healthy families, we're there to say people need access to health care. We're there for kids' health programs and educations. And one of the things I'm really frustrated about with the people on the other side is they're never there to join arms and really say, we can make this legislation work, that every kid ought to have a hot breakfast, that there ought to be enough resources for us to have pre-K for every child in Georgia who needs it, that we ought to have support systems for teen moms. And so if I had a criticism or a disappointment, it's that the other side doesn't come together and say, where can we find common ground and how could we work together?
Because obviously abortion is an issue because of what appear to a lot of folks to be positions of conscience on both sides. The idea on one side that this is a life and life begins at conception and one should not take it. And on the other hand, one should not interfere with a woman's right to choose and have jurisdiction over her own body. Those are both positions of conscience that are kind of irreconcilable. So how realistic is it expect?
But if you were really into the thing that would make a difference and really reduce the need for abortion, it would be prevention. And so it would be to say, let's really make peace with this and to say we're going to use the European model to say we're going to have sex education. It can include abstinence. It can include birth control, you know, the whole gamut of things, because really what we're focused on is young people getting an opportunity to grow up and not be a parent until that time, and the gift to children that they would have parents who were ready and willing to parent.
As you look back on 32 years, what are the things that you're happiest about, and what are the things that you think, oh, I could have done that differently?
Well, the things I'm happiest about is when I came here, we were Planned Parenthood of Atlanta, and the budget was $500,000. And we are Planned Parenthood Southeast now with 8 health centers across 3 states, 2 time zones. We have an operating budget of around $7 million, and there's no government funding in that, so it's really been based on community support, client fees, et cetera. So we've expanded the scope of services into areas. The South is really the poster child for the lack of services all the way around, and we pay a price with that, with higher morbidity and mortality for moms and for babies, highest rates of STDs, sexually transmitted diseases in the country. So it kind of goes on, and so it's a big price to pay not to have services available. I think things I would have liked to have done different would have been to win the lottery. It would have been great to have resources. It's tied every year. I always say when I'm raising private dollars that for every dollar that is donated, there are five places for it to go. And so I would have liked to have been able to have raised more funds and to have an opportunity, I think, to tell the Planned Parenthood story in a broader way.
Meaning what, in a broader way?
Is that we would have had an opportunity for more marketing and PR to really talk about the great services we provide.
How would Planned Parenthood be affected by the Health Care Reform Act? And if the state does not set up the health care exchanges, the feds will come in and do that. Would that make any difference one way or the other to Planned Parenthood?
I think the advantage that Planned Parenthood will have with the ACA is that
Affordable Care Act.
Right, Affordable Care Act, sorry. Affordable Care Act is that our clients are in the income range that will be most affected, that will suddenly have access to care. The feds or the local, you know, Georgia government or Mississippi or Alabama government, it doesn't really make much difference to us. I think the important thing is that we be a part of the provider piece, and that should be a no-brainer.
Would that be something that would depend a great deal on which party is in charge in Washington?
Definitely. Definitely. I think that one of the issues that we'll have to talk about is if you provide abortion services, do you have access to be a provider of family planning services? And while those can be separate, they can be separate corporations, et cetera, it's making sure that Planned Parenthood's part of that, which it should be. It's part of the solution.
Which brings us back to the original question. Does that mean then that Planned Parenthood will find itself, willingly or not, on the partisan side of the next election cycle?
It depends. It depends on, was there a lesson learned in this last election? That women are an important part of the electorate, that our issues are important, that we will vote that way, and is there a moderation by the other party? I mean, it's really, we don't wish to be partisan. You know, we're looking for someone that really aligns with our basic values, and those have to do with access to family planning, safe legal abortion, you know, all the things that the organization really stands for. But when someone comes out and says, we plan to defund the organization, then there's not any place for us to go.
Kay Scott is retiring as president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Southeast after 32 years with the organization. Kay Scott, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.